man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. Now see, this turns it around and it kind of shows you that Peter says, if you're called a Christian, if you're suffering as a Christian, it's good. So, it just whichever way you want to go with it, but Peter said it, I believe it was talking about the people following Christ in the flesh. We follow Christ from the heavenly ministry. Yeah, I could be wrong, but I just wanted to throw that out there at you. Now, let's get back into Isaiah 9:6. We talked about Jesus Christ, and the first thing mentioned in there that he's called wonderful. We went into depth on that. Now, I want to talk to you, we briefly mentioned it, about counselor. You know, when you go to a counselor, I think of a guidance counselor at a college. You're supposed to be a freshman not knowing what's going on. And so you go in there and you're supposed to have somebody that's skilled. You tell them what you're interested in. And there's a lot more that goes into it. They get your transcripts and everything else. But you tell them what you might be interested in. They're supposed to sit back and evaluate you and give you the pluses and minuses. And this is the route to take. This is the long route. This is your major. This is your minor. And all this kind of good stuff. It's going to take you X amount of years to get out of college. And you can transfer to get a master's. The whole ball of wax. But counselors, I've seen guidance counselors in high school. Seen them in college, and a lot of them is just a job, and that's it. And if they can't teach, they'll make them a counselor. I don't really know any good counselors. I'm sure they're out there. But a counselor is supposed to help you. Give you counsel. What is that? Wisdom. Knowledge. But see, when you're talking about a counselor, they've probably got a degree in psychology. I wouldn't say sociology, but psychology for an individual type person instead of a group. But counselors come and go. But who is the true counselor? Jesus Christ is the true counselor. How does he counsel you? With words. He doesn't come and speak into your ear and give you that fuzzy feeling that you need to do this. No. I felt like the Lord was leading me in this direction. I felt. I'm going to tell you something. Your feelings will let you down. If you've ever been married more than once in here, you know your feelings have let you down. Yeah. A woman can say, oh, I felt like that was the man of my entire life. I just knew he was the one for me for the rest of my life. Well, your feelings let you down. And vice versa. So your feelings will let you down just about in anything you do. You don't go on feelings, you go on knowledge and wisdom. And where do you get that? You get it out of the Bible, the King James Bible. Now, Jesus does teach us how to live. It says so in the book. How to walk victoriously. We get that out of where? The King James Bible. How to face tomorrow when things didn't go good today. And believe me, everybody's going to have one of those days or numerous days. People think the moment they trust the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be happy for the rest of their life. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's not true. I've been miserable, unhappy in many occasions. But I've always had joy in one thing, salvation. Oh man, I don't care how bad your day is or what has happened. Your loved one's been taken. Your wife divorced you. Your husband divorced you. You lost your job. And there's plenty of people in this business and in this world like that. But you can look upon the cross of Calvary and have joy through all adversity. That's the only hope you've got. And we take it. Us people who do know the truth, who have trusted the cross, that's the only thing we got. Calvary. Without that, we're going to hell. We don't want that. I'd like to have Los Angeles Coliseum to tell the world this with all the prime networks that are looking at me. Not that I want to be a star, but I can tell you, you know how to be a star whenever you're teaching the gospel. The Lord will take care of it. Because you're like Dave and I was talking before him. You know, you just plant that seed. He had a good example. What was that you said? You mentioned something to someone and then later?
Pastor Traylor, you know, the Olive Baptist Church minister. and we, I did some video with him about some eye surgery he had done. We got talking about dispensational theology, my belief in Paul and the mystery and how unique that is for our day and what have you. And his answer was, Paul's a good guy.
But he got the opportunity to plant the seed. That's what we have. You can't force it on him. No, that other example, you said you had witnessed somebody 15 years later.
They had employees, people that connect, my company, what have you. One lady was on an airplane. I think I told this story before. On an airplane down and out, been through divorce, whatever. I was sitting next to her. I talked to her for the entire flight. 10 years later, I'm in Lowe's shopping, and she walks on and goes, just like your husband. And she tells me how that conversation turned her life around. You'd never know.
See, you're going to have an influence, either yay or nay. Pro or con. You're going to have an influence on somebody, whether you mentioned the gospel or you didn't. You want to have a positive influence. And you want to have a positive influence through the gospel message. You could have told them a different gospel. And there's plenty of another gospels out here. And they wouldn't be overjoyous. If they're overjoyous, they found the truth, I believe. Could be wrong there. But the Bible says in Ephesians, we have heard Him, who? Jesus. And have in God, which is one in the same, one manifest in the place, and have been taught by Him. Have you been taught by Jesus? Humbleness? He was humble in Philippians. Humbled Himself as a man, as a lowly man. He abased Himself and just was treated horribly. That was an example for us. You're not supposed to just sit there and take it. That's not what I'm saying. Let people slap you and run you down and beat you up, and you, the next one comes along and steps on you and puts your cigarette. That ain't what I'm talking about. But you're supposed to be humble in serving the Lord. Do it over and over again. Now, what about a counselor? It's supposed to be someone you can talk to about anything. Ever wanted to talk to someone about anything and you just didn't have nobody to talk to? We're thinking of, in human terms, we're thinking of talking your flesh to another person. Can I trust that person? That's what's in your mind. Or are they going to go out and tell somebody the things that I want to, I'm really on my heart that I need to talk to? We have those thoughts. But there's one person, that's Jesus Christ, that you can share anything, anytime, anywhere. And you ain't got to say anything verbally. He knows the intents of the heart. He knows your heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Already before you start. He just wants you to interact with Him. And that's really what you're doing. Words are here. And sure, some of you, it's your part. He can't force you to talk to Him. But He's done laid it out. What is so great? I just love this. What is so great? He was crucified and buried and resurrected for your justification. Pay for all sin and sins. Why don't you talk to Him? Is there a sin too big that you've committed? Do you feel worthless and not worthy of saving? There's people out there that believe things, but they have done. They don't know what the unpardonable sin is. They've heard about it, but there isn't one. But they've heard somebody tell them there was an unpardonable sin somewhere, and they've done it. Through ignorance, they won't trust the Lord. I know myself. That's what they're thinking. I know I've been so sorry in my actions as a human being. I have offended my God. I believe there's a God, they'll say. But I am just too low. I don't deserve to be saved. Well, they're right there. None of us deserve to be saved. But it's just they are gone so far, and religion has shoved it down their throats that they couldn't clean up their act enough to please the Lord. And you know what? That is true. You can't clean up your act good enough to please the Lord. But Jesus Christ pleased the Father. and cleansed you of all your sins. The Bible tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that, well, I think it's in verse 19, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their, that's us, their sins unto them. Or trespasses, whichever one. I think it's sins. I don't know. Maybe it's trespasses. So that cleared the slate for you to go to Him and talk directly to God the moment you trust the Son.
It's beyond me to please God. I can't do it.
No, you
can't. He pleased God for me.
Exactly.
He was perfect. I'm imperfect. I had to have that perfect sacrifice to make me whole. There's no way I could have done that myself. And I was struggling trying to do that. And I couldn't do it.
I tried that. I went through that struggle when I joined that Methodist church. I thought that I did not know that I was ever going to sin again. Really, I just, it never crossed my mind. Because I told the Lord, I said, I'm sorry. And I expected Him, I guess, to just clean me of anything that I, forget my human wants and needs, not needs, but my human wants and desires and flesh and whatever. Flesh is in the way all the time, and it will be until you die. But you know what? I found out I continue sin. My thoughts, my actions, and all those kind of things. I can't clean it up enough.
One of the verses that proved me, I don't know if it happened to anybody else, was when Jesus called the woman who was called an adulterer, and He says, go ye and sin
no more.
Don't sin anymore. Now what He's telling her, don't you see, this what you're involved in here is risky business. And you shouldn't be doing this. So if you continue to sin, and you come and they get you again, and I'm out, you're going to be stoned and killed. Don't do this anymore. This is not a smart thing to do. He says that's counsel to me. That's what he was trying
that
to
do. That is counsel. Now, let's go to Isaiah 28. We're talking about counsel and counseling. I know y'all are kind of asleep this morning because it's subdued outside and it's raining and you're thinking, oh, I should have just stayed in bed.
No.
You know. Isaiah 28.
When it's raining, it tends to keep you awake too, so you don't get a real good restful sleep.
I do.
I do too.
I wished I had a tin roofed house is what I wished. I grew up in one. Oh, I could hear that rain just beating on you. God, get me out of that feather bed my grandmother had. Oh. Now, verse 23. Now, then we're talking about counseling, and this is where people go wrong. It says, give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Do you know what? We won't do that. He just told you, listen. Listen with your ears and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. No. Now, let's see. In verse 26, talks about an individual here. And if you want to read the other in there, that's fine. For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. If you will listen, God will teach you what to do right out of the Scriptures. How do I know that? Because He's got it written down of what to do. Now, verse 29. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts. I'm talking about, if you want to read 27 and 28, if you wonder what in verse 27 fidgets is, I had to look it up. That's the seed of black cumin. Not that, now that's used as a but I mean, I just thought I'd tell you. But in verse 29, this also coming forth from the Lord of hosts, which is what? We wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. But I wanted you to see the word. Look, talking about the Lord, which is wonderful in counsel. If only we will listen to what He says written in this book, He'll tell you. Go to Psalm 16, please.
My parents must have read that verse because they corrected me with a staff and a rod.
I love it. You know, that's another thing, Jim, that since you brought that up about parents. You know, you've heard of it, whether you know about it. The blue, was it the blue book speller? Anybody know about that? I guess what it's called. They used to have a book, and they give it to you in the first grade, and you used it all the way through high school. And it was, they taught elementary and so forth. They taught Bible verses, and that's how you learned. You grew. You can actually take a literate person and start him reading it, and at the very end of it, he'll have equivalent to a college degree. But they used to teach out of a blue book. I'm going to miss it. Blueback Speller, I think is what it's called. And it's, they used it all the way from the first grade through the 12th. Anyway, I don't know where I got that. I said Psalm 16. Let me find it. Carol's looking at me with bewilderment back there. Like, are you sure that's the name of it? Well, no, I'm not. Not now that you give me that evil look. But I'll look it up and I'll correct it. And Dave's over here doing a search. He's going to find it. Yes. 16 verse 7. He says, I will bless the Lord who hath given me what?
Counsel.
My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. The only thing I wanted you to see out of that is this individual, David, wrote this. He said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. The Lord is a counselor. He sure is. Now, all these verses that we're going to cover about these aspects of his character that was mentioned in Isaiah 9 and 6, that's just a few of the verses in the Scriptures. You better really take a long time if you want to cover all of them, what he's taught and so forth. But in Romans chapter 11, guys, we'll get back to the prison epistle. Did you find it?
Oh, yeah. Blueback Speller, 1824.
And no, Trish, I wasn't there when they published it. Okay?
So for the first edition, you made a change.
Have you got us anything to say about that?
It just says that it was used for grammar and spelling in 1783 is when it started. But there's different versions of it. But that's what it is. New England is where it started.
But if you can get a hold of a copy, that's worth a lot.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, my dad used one when he was in elementary school. Yeah. And you got to understand, though, I'm just the third person from the Civil War in my family. The third. My granddaddy was born before the Civil War. That's crazy. Romans 11:33. Let's see what we got to say. When I was working this up, I used a different Bible. And believe me, whenever you look at a different Bible as you're studying something, and then when you get ready to use it, and you look at yours, it's on a different page. Now, we know in verse 32 of Romans 11, it says, For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. He's talking about the Jews. Now, in verse 33, Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He, God, has got the wisdom, it says, and the knowledge to counsel you. The wisdom and the knowledge. Now, if you want to go to somebody that's knowledgeable, now, they may be an expert in photography or videography. Is that what it is? I don't know.
Actually, most everything.
Most of you, just ask him.
And he's humble.
But when you want to, when Dave wants to find out, he goes to the Scriptures. Okay, he don't ask himself in a mirror and then reflects back. He goes because who's got the knowledge and the wisdom? All knowledge. I love this word all. All knowledge and wisdom. We may have a little knowledge and wisdom, but God's got it all. So that's where we ought to go when we have a problem or want to talk to someone. Right? I'm telling you, this is a great book. 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
They were telling me, says that, see, I was 14 years as a school counselor at King Middle School, and there were times that their problems were just completely beyond me and beyond the student who could come before me, you know, to talk about it. And, you know, back then, we could just, you know, bow heads and just pray.
You can't now.
No, I would have. It's a good thing I'm at the district office because I would have definitely gotten fired. I'm sure.
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Mary Lou. It's going
to every day, the whole time she talked, she never had another day went by that she didn't lead them in prayer. And she would never report it, I guess.
But I mean, you just can't. You just some of the problems are just horrible. You know, they come from awful families. And what do the kids do? You know, except. And the only thing to do is just kind of try to lead them to God, because that's the only place for real wisdom and instruction. Because I certainly didn't have it.
I'll give you the wrong reference. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2, if you would. And while we're going there, since Mary is an educator, or in the educational field now, and you were a counselor, and I appreciate that.
You didn't know that, did you?
No, I knew you were in education, but I didn't know you were a counselor.
Yeah, I actually was a
counselor. There's good counselors and there's bad counselors.
That's for sure. Some are in there for
some, it's just an occupation. Others, it's life work. And you got.
You can see the difference in the high school by how many scholarships the kids get in that particular senior class. You know, the kids get a whole, there's a whole big, huge amount of scholarships that they have gone after. But you know that the counselor's really been working hard because
right.
They've got to help them with that.
But see, it's just like being a pastor or preacher. You've got some good ones, and you've got the majority of them that's no good at all. Come on in, Faye. That's just no good at all. It's just the same with counselor. You've got some good ones, you've got some bad ones.
One thing I'm kind of glad about, remember, used to, people in education, you know, you were just hard up trying to find people to come into these positions. Now you'll have maybe 15 applicants per position that opens up. And so the...
As a counselor.
Or any kind of position. I mean, there's just so many people out
there. Well, they just want a job. They're not necessarily called to be a counselor, but they may have something like higher education in mind, and then maybe they had a minor or counseling or.
So I think we're getting better quality people is really what I'm trying to say.
You got a bigger choice to pull from.
That's it. And another thing too is if they don't make it after a year or 2 years, then you got rid of. Because they're not on professional service contract, they're on annual contract. You said thank you.
You better get rid of them while you can, because once you get locked into the team, into
that's
that
it.
Thing,
once you get the three
they're there. Camp. They don't even do their job, mm-hmm. pretty much. I want to. This is about education. This is y'all guys. We're talking about prayer in school. You know, we had it every day. But in Tennessee, right now. I can't remember the county, but in Tennessee, in a specific county up there, they have, they took the, and I can get you these websites where you can go and actually read them. They've taken the Ten Commandments, which we know we're not under, even though they're good, but they've taken it out of the school district, and by a judge, a court order. And now they're teaching the five pillars of Islam in the same school district.
Wow.
Oh, yes. And here's the problem. We talk about it in here. Nobody gets upset, writes newspapers, calls their congressmen, representatives. Oh, we heard it in church today. And most churches won't mention it, except black churches. They will. They talk about it all the time. There's basically a political agenda. But, yes, that's happening right now as we speak. And the number six, they're actually teaching it, too, as a pillar of Islam, is jihad.
Oh my God.
Now, if you want the story, you can probably look that up.
That's basically part of it, yeah. That's correct. Very
radical. Not bad. You can probably pull up the five pillars of Islam in Tennessee, and he can give you what it is. Now, not that you don't watch the news, but I'll tell you something else. All this ties together. What is it? It's Galatians 1:4. You got to go there. That's just deliverance from this present evil world. That's evil. But unless the semi runs over you, most people turn a blind eye to what's happening in society. What's happening in society is a direct reflection of what Jesus Christ is talking about in here. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you ought to be pushed and shoved around. You need to take action. Yes?
The only recourse we have is our representatives, and it's a joke. Because none of them care a thing in the world about us. They'll get up, they'll get on TV, and they'll give their little...
They're all a joke. Republicans, Democrats, Independents, the whole bunch.
The whole bunch. They can care less about what's going on, what's happening to you in this country, and how this country is deteriorating. And they're not going to do a single thing to stop them. All the IRS scandal, the Benghazi, all these different things. Nobody's had to come forward and take responsibility for what happened in those places. And they're not going to. And there are no investigations going on. And we're a corrupt country. And we, the people, are sitting back and watching this and just allowing it to happen. That's the only reason it's happening. Because we're not screaming and shouting at 500 million people going to watch this. This is going to stop. Then you can get their attention. But the way it is right now, we'll never get their attention. Because they're all together. They're Republicans and Democrats, but they're all on the same page.
That's a fact. I've got a lot to tell you. We won't be doing it right now, though. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. I've got something to say, believe me. Let's go into verse 3. We're still talking about him being the counselor. In Colossians 2, verse 2, at the end of it, it says... Well, let's just read it. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Now, and of the Father, and of Christ. Now, verse 3. In whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge...
You missed a couple.
I did. I've got to go back and read that, because that didn't sound right. Are hid in whom, in Jesus Christ and the Father, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in God the Father and Jesus Christ, who is the best counselor? That just tells you right there. This is the King James Bible, because God wrote it through His Holy Spirit. Penned by sinful men. That's one of the big deals about people picking on a Bible and having a perfect Bible, is no Bible was written by God Himself. It was written by men. Well, you know what? Who did Jesus Christ, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 4 or 5, I don't know, right in that area, we'll look. But who did Jesus Christ, when He started His Galilean ministry, who did He pick first? Simon, His brother Andrew, are they sinful people? Of course they are. They were teaching His gospel as sinful individuals. God, manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the Word, He created everything. He's the Alpha, He's the Omega, the first and the last, the everlasting, infinite Father, chose sinful individuals as the 12 apostles, and one of them was the devil. And then we get to this. He took how many? I think it was 48. 48 sinful men, I think, 6 or 7 of them died. Put them in various different parts of Europe. They came back together. They wrote the book. They penned the book. The Holy Spirit told them to write. I can't even imagine somebody in this room, myself, that the Lord's going to speak to me and tell me what to write down in a book. It ain't going to happen. And that's why when people tell me, and I hear these stories about, oh, the Lord spoke to me on the way up there to church today, I changed my sermon because He wants me to preach this. Now that happens, but the Lord didn't speak to me, and it didn't speak to nobody else. He didn't. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about, if you got any comments, go ahead and blast them out.
Just on this thing of knowledge, the first verse I learned is memorized was, but fools, there I was, fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's where
they despise the counsel of God.
They despise our leaders throughout this country. They despise wisdom from God.
Oh, yes.
That's why they're carrying this country apart.
A lot of religion despises true grace theology because it eliminates the ego.
It takes all works off the table.
Yeah.
Where, as Dave said, it messes up the ego because you no longer have an opportunity to brag about how you helped him.
Or feel good or anything, right? It's all off here.
I'd just like to bring up a personal testimony. I'm not one that often gets depressed. You know, that's just not in my makeup. But there have been times, and I'll tell you, just reading the Word, there's a soothing, there's a comfort, there's something there that is a balm. You know, they talk about balm in Gilead. There really is. It doesn't erase the problems, but it makes you know I'm with you. You know, I'm going to be with you.
Well, the reason is you know He's real, and you put comfort in this, because there's no one else you can put comfort in.
Paul teaches that we make our requests, and the peace of God depends on us. We don't get the answer to this, so we can't arm twist God into doing what we want.
I know.
We can have peace.
Yeah.
We can have the peace of God, and that's the only part.
It. It says, through all prayers and supplications, make thy request known. Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're laying it on the Lord, but you're reading His wisdom, His knowledge, and you're trusting His counsel. He hasn't got to physically speak to you. He's done spoke to you through this. All you got to do is read it and believe it. And that's what you do. That's why you find solace in hope in the Scripture. You know it's true. But see, you realize this. A lot of people don't. When they pray or they read the Scripture for peace, if they're not saved, they're not going to get it. But even a saved individual, including we want the Lord to answer us right now on our time. Well, gosh, it's been 30 minutes since I asked and prayed about it. I still feel horrible.
We want an answer the way we want an answer.
We want an affirmative. Yes. Oh, you're right. I'm going to answer just the way you wanted it. I'm going to give you that good job. I'm going to give you that woman to take and marry. I'm going to just bless you. But now you've got to give for me to do this. Because somebody's already told you that you'll be blessed 100 times over. And charlatans. But anyway. Okay. Let's talk about this. We're going back to Isaiah 9. You don't have to go back. But the third thing that's mentioned there is the mighty God. And He is God. Jesus Christ is. Some people have a difficulty with the Trinity. Some people have a difficulty of Jesus Christ creating everything, even though it says He did. Go to Exodus chapter 6. Well, I've just got to tell you something before we read it, okay? Now, this is not off the subject, because it's talking about the Scriptures being, I say, usurped by a different religion. And believe me, I pay attention to this. I got so upset this week that I called for the impeachment of the president. Does that tell you how bad I got? And I sent it out to the world. Got a lot of positive responses. And the reason I'm telling you this is this. do you know, if this don't upset you, there's something wrong with you. I'll just tell you that. John Boehner, which I used to like, John Boehner is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. Huh?
I never did.
Oh, well, I understand. Because I don't now, I want him gone. Because, listen to this, I'm just getting angry thinking about it. He let an Islamic imam come in and give a prayer to open the House of Representatives of the United States. Islam opened up the United States House of Representatives. Did you know that?
I'm surprised.
Oh, God, I'm getting angry thinking about it. That's what set me off on this course of just, that's bad. No, we can't, you know, if you've ever been to D.C., you've watched the buildings, you've got In God We Trust up there on. But that God that In God We Trust is not the God of Allah. It's not the God Allah. Okay? My God is not the God of the Islamic nation. They say it is, and even George Bush said it was the same. That just let me down in him. He lost if he believed that. It's just, this is the world you're in. It's the present evil world. Get ready for it. Because I believe there's going to be some hard times. We're not going through the tribulation. Let's just get that out of the way. But I believe there's going to be some hard times for us before we are raptured out. Not called the tribulation. I believe if you can look around, this is not prophecy. There ain't no prophecy taking place right now. It can't take place in a mystery period. Something, no prophecy, because it was hid in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. This time period that we're living in right now, not in prophecy. So how can prophecy be taking place? If somebody tries to take you back over here somewhere and tell you that this information is now being fulfilled in here, they don't know what the Bible says. Because there ain't none being fulfilled. Prophecy was put on hold, just like a timeout in a ball game. So you hear people say, well, prophecy's taking place. We're getting close to the end times. No, prophecy is not taking place, but we are getting closer to the end times. That's just common sense. And you can read Romans chapter 1 and you can find out what's taking place with the marriages of homosexuals. Now, I saw it last night. Well, there's a problem. Somebody wants to get divorced. They're homosexual. Well, golly, they want to get divorced in a state that does not recognize them. What are they going to do? Now they've intermingled the military. Trish works as a paralegal. Now they want housing. Can you imagine two Marine guys living together? Side of the baddest people on the face of the Air Force protecting us. Or living on a Navy base with a SEALs there. And you got two guys, two old big old Marines or something like that, lip locking on each other. They're going to be some deaths, but they can legally live in base housing now. And have the same benefits that the other spouse has got. Anyway, in Exodus chapter 6, we're talking about Almighty God in verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham. Now, if you're reading verse 2, it says God. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I, God, appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. Do you believe he's God Almighty? I do. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. God appeared to all three of the fathers. But my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. But he is known by the name of God Almighty. There is none more powerful anywhere. You know, I want to say the universe, but there's more than one universe. There's more than God knows how many Milky Ways. So, Is it beyond the black hole somewhere? Has to be. We know there is a third heaven somewhere and a throne room up there, but Jesus Christ sitting on the right-hand side of the Father, it's God's throne right now, but it will become Jesus Christ's throne one day. But it ain't His right now. It's God's throne. Now, I don't know why I've got this marked, but let's go to Genesis. I really don't. I put a reference in here and said, I don't know what it is. Genesis 17:1. Yeah, dude. It's just to emphasize what was said. And then when Abram, this is before he became Abraham, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And you can read on more if you want. But look, go to Psalm 68. Verse 4. And this is that place that I mentioned to you earlier, the JDH. Here says, sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Jah. I always don't know how to pronounce that. And rejoice before Him. So we know the Almighty God, His name is God. It's the Lord. It's Jehovah. It's J-A-H. Well, there's going to be people out here tell you that He is not Almighty God. Well, all we have to do is listen to see. See, I just believe that's contrary to the teaching of Scripture. Revelation, please. We will have time to eat.
Yeah.
I'm
hoping. Verse 8. Revelation 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night. This is around the throne room, saying, Holy, 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 three times, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And is to come? Genesis chapter 28. Verse 3. And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham. In other words, in verse 1 it says, And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou wilt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. But I want you to go on down and see who said that. Isaac said that in verse 3, And God Almighty bless thee. God Almighty is what we're talking about. Go over to Revelation one more time. Let's see if I got this correct. Chapter 1. Verse 8. I am the Alpha, that's the beginning, and Omega, the ending, or the last. The beginning and the ending, sorry about that, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. There should not be a question whether this is the Almighty. That's Jesus. It's also God. John chapter 1. You know what this said, but let's read it. Talking about the word. Well, actually, I'm going to read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God is equal to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is equal to God. Verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. That's an almighty God. Go over to Colossians chapter 1. Go to verse 16. We're talking about the Almighty God. For by Him were all things created. We know we're talking about Jesus Christ right here. And are in that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. If you're the Almighty God, and Jesus Christ is, everything was created for you. Jesus Christ is just God manifest in the flesh. Because we know out of John it says God is a spirit and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. He has the power over creation. Let's see what Peter has to say. Let's go to 1 Peter. Chapter 3. And in verse 21, the last three or four words, talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then it's got a colon, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. The Almighty God. You know, some people have a difficulty with how it said that right there. There's God and He went back into heaven. Matthew 28. You know, in Matthew 28, He gave them the so-called Great Commission. But you know what? I've never seen it written in there. It said Great Commission. It's not there. That's something man taught. Matthew 28, verse 18. Let me get to it. And Jesus came and spake unto them, that's the 11 apostles, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, if all power is given unto me in heaven and earth, is that not almighty? All power. To have all power, you've got to be the Almighty. Hebrews chapter 1. You probably know that by heart, don't you, Jim? The way is number 3. In the first verse of chapter 1, it says, God, verse 2, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He had appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Well, we know Jesus Christ made the worlds. Who, being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus Christ, the Almighty, sat down on the right hand side of the Father, who had given Him all things. Man, what a power. It's just beyond comprehension. I've got something here. It's Matthew 8. Let's look at it real quick. Matthew chapter 8. Well, I'm going to start in verse 26. And he, that's Jesus, saith unto them, his disciples, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? What manner of man? That's the Son of Man, but it is the Son of God, the Almighty. I've heard people, when we first got down here, Trish won't go to, with us looking for houses. I mean, Carol won't go with us looking for houses when we first moved into town in Pensacola. And me and Trish went and went up to this lady's house, and she was talking to me about rebuking the storms and everything else. And it was a Pentecostal church down, I think it was Brownsville. Which one was it, Trish? Do you remember?
I think it was Brownstone.
About them praying and making the storm move and all that kind of stuff. Well, it takes the Almighty. Now, I do know God answers prayers. He really does, and He listens. But it takes the Almighty to calm the sea, rebuke the wind. It does. Ain't none of us humans going to get it done. Okay? Now, just a couple of things here. I want you to go to Isaiah 45. And we're about through. Isaiah 45. And verse 23. You've heard this over and over. I want to start at verse 22 first. And it says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out by my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me, that's what I want you to see, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. With that in mind, I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2. You can hold on to that if you want. Oh, let's see where it may be. I hope I've got it right. I want to start in verse 9. Of chapter 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Who is that? Jesus Christ. And given him a name which is above every name. Verse 10. That at the knee of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. What did it say? It said that the name of Jesus. Back in Isaiah, what did he say? He said, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Well, Jesus Christ and God Almighty is the same. God didn't think it robbery for Jesus Christ to say, hey, I'm God. You know, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's true. The only way you can see God is looking at Jesus Christ. The only way you can see the one of them now is through this, because I guarantee you there's not a soul in this room and there ain't a soul listening to this video that has ever seen the face of God in a dream or a vision. You can see Him hanging up on this cross. I've seen that. But I can't see a face. Nobody has ever seen God in the face. In a dream or a vision. Not today. Not in this period. Except one. The Apostle Paul saw him. He sure did. Now, I want you to, I'm almost there. Go to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42. Verse 8.